Take your Bibles and open to 2 Peter, if you would, this morning. 2 Peter in the New Testament towards the back. 2 Peter. And we're going to work our way into the book of Psalm in just a few moments as you get your outline and you're looking at a few blanks to fill in. And, of course, a spot for personal notes. I want to encourage you, whichever way it is that you listen well and write things down, to do just that. If it's in a smart device, praise God. If it's with a pen and paper, praise God. If it's all internally, that's how you do it. So be it. Praise God for that. But I hope that you this morning will follow along and use the aids that have been provided in the matter of an outline and the personal note section if you so choose. Well, we have come to the end of August already. I saw this morning it's 121 days until Christmas, so not too far away. And I always look forward to Christmas for a lot of reasons, but one thing is I know for the most part it's going to be cool in Las Vegas. And so, you know, sometimes it doesn't get cool until late November or such, but usually it's cool around Christmas, and so I'm looking forward to that. But it just reminds me that this year's pressing on, and much is happening. We have come to a time where we're going to conclude another series here at Mountain View Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. And this series has gone through July and August, entitled Too Blessed to Be Stressed. Too Blessed to Be Stressed. And you know, as a pastor and friend, you know, you don't try to come up with a series just to be catchy and cool, but you want it to be able to be used throughout the week. And I've had several individuals text me and use this statement even in a conversation with them, that listen, we are too blessed to be stressed, and that is so true. And if you had missed maybe a week or two with some summer travel, vacation time, or whatever it may be through July and August, I remind you that you can always go watch the services online on Facebook Live. We always have those video available. And then, of course, if that you don't have the time to sit and watch it on a Wi-Fi connection, you can always download it through the podcast and available through the Android or iPhone devices. And always take the messages with you and be able to listen to them that way. But if you missed one of the messages, they are there for you to be able to look back upon and to review even as you need. But we come to the concluding thought today in this series, Too Blessed to Be Stressed. And I want to just talk to you about this. And I say just this, but really it's a great this. And that is the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And I want to just give you the conclusion of the series entitled Too Blessed to Be Stressed, I Have the B-I-B-L-E. Look, if you would, at 2 Peter chapter number 1 as we do a little bit of supporting passages this morning before we land in Psalm chapter 19. So if you're able to turn with me, I'm in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read in verse 19 to begin this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto the light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Peter, of course, writing, telling us and understanding just the greatness of Scripture, the precious Word of God. He talks about how we have a more sure word provided for us as we are here today. And he says in verse number 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, so it wasn't just made up, just penned by men, but holy men of God spake as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. With that background and that scripture, I want you to go to 2 Timothy, if you would, with me also this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So back just a few books of the Bible, and we come to the epistle that Paul has wrote, the pastoral epistle to Timothy. And we're in the second epistle, not 1 Timothy, but 2 Timothy. And I want you to look at the third chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the, same with me, holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Say the next two words with me in verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Supporting passage of scripture to help us, we talk about the Bible this morning. We see Peter tell us that we have a more sure word. We have a word of God that has been given to us as holy men of God wrote, as God spake to them. They penned those words that we read today. And then here in this pastoral epistle in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see Paul reminding Timothy that the word of God, the holy scriptures that he believed, trusted, learned about, that saved him, he is to continue in those scriptures. Why? Because all scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, that the man of God, that the person of God, would be thoroughly furnished or complete, perfect, unto all good works. So we see that the completion or perfection, as it's used here, the thought of being complete, well-rounded, comes through what? The Word of God. Understanding what the Word of God has for you and me. You know, the cute little song, go ahead if you back it up one more, Jess, just for a second, just so people know. I'm on point one. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead of you guys there a little bit. If you already wrote that down, good, but we'll get there in a second. And just so you know, where's Pastor at? Not on that point, all right? So sorry about that, Jess. But we know the cute song, right? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E spells?
Bible.
Exactly. Didn't make you sing it this morning. We did it a couple weeks ago. But you know that little song and how we take our Bibles and we get the children all excited and said, this is, you know, the precious Word of God. This is the Bible that you hold was written and inspired by God. And then sing about it. And we go, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone. No other thing. I stand with the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, and we shout about it, we talk about it. Can I submit to you this morning that you're too blessed to be stressed because you have the precious Word of God? What is so sad is that we live in a day where Christians don't open the Bible the way they should.
Amen.
And good churches, solid churches, we have Christians today that are trying to live the Christian life. And they do it with a closed book. They try to survive on what the pastor gives them on Sunday. They try to survive on what they might hear across or see scroll across a quick scrolling through on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it may be. May I say to you, all of those are a blessing. And the Word of God as preached on a Sunday should be a blessing. But may I say this, you'll never be able to thrive or survive on Christian or on the Word of God that way. But we have found a way, really, to try to do it or just to try to just continue to press on with life. And we don't open the book the way we should. We don't study the book the way we should. And as it even says in Peter, we don't heed the book the way we should. A lot of Christians will never argue out loud in front of other Christians about the Bible. But oh, how so many of us have a lot of arguments inside of us about the Bible. About what it says and how it says it and when it said and if God really intended it for today. May I say this, that as Timothy was told by Paul, all scripture is profitable. And all scripture, everything from Genesis to Revelation, is still relevant today.
Amen.
And it doesn't need us, it doesn't need you, it doesn't need me trying to take up a debate and ask the question, is the Bible so relevant? Or do I still need to heed or practice that part of the Bible? All scripture is profitable.
Amen.
In the opening thought on your handout, it says, men have different opinions concerning the importance of the Bible. But what is significant is not so much what men say about the Bible, but what the Bible says about itself. And that is so true. There are good men who have written many commentaries about the Bible and about books about the Bible and how it's awesome and maybe even another side of if it's relevant to today or on and on it goes. And may I say, men's opinion, yes, can count, but they're not as important as what the Bible says about itself. Turn, if you would, to our text this morning in Psalm 19. Psalm chapter 19, right in the middle of the Bible, you'll find, of course, the big book as we see it, Psalms. And we come to a bunch of mini books, 150 of them. Why don't you turn to the 19th Psalm this morning. I want you to follow along now as I read our text today. Verse 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Adam Clark writes this about the Word of God and about this passage directly. He says this: when we think of statutes, commandments, and judgments, we often think of rules that keep us from having fun. Think about that for a moment. When we think about statutes, commandments, and judgments, we often think of rules that keep us from having fun. But here in this passage, we actually see the opposite. We see that the law actually converts us. It makes us wise. It rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes. It warns us and rewards us. That's because God's laws are guidelines and lights on our paths, rather than chains on our hands and feet. They point at danger to warn us and then point at success to guide us. May I give you that last phrase? They point at danger to warn us and then point at success to guide us. Too blessed to be stressed because I had the B-I-B-L-E. Heavenly Father, I pray today for just a little time that we spend together, that, Lord, we would make much of Jesus, that we'd make much of the precious Word of God, and that everyone in this room, Lord, that without a shadow of a doubt they could have clarity and understanding, that they could put their faith and trust in you and as the only way of getting to heaven. And if there would be one today that is gathered in the mist, that is not certain of where they'll spend eternity, I pray today is the day of their salvation. Today is the day that they will call upon you, repent of their sins, just as each and every one of us that is saved has had to do. And Lord, we cling to the cross, the precious blood of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection. And we rejoice and shout, just as there is in the presence of the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. God, to the believer today that maybe has come lackadaisical, has come complacent in their life, I pray with boldness today, Lord, that you would smote that heart, that you'd smote that life, that you would speak to that individual, you'd speak to everyone that is here, Lord, and help us to understand this blessed book, the glorious Word of God, and how awesome it is for our life. Let my words be few. Use this feeble preacher to relay what's on my heart to everyone that's here today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
I'm back in verse number 7 and a little bit of a paraphrase. Follow along if you can. The Bible is perfect, converting the soul. The Bible is sure, making wise the simple. The Bible is right, rejoicing the heart. The Bible is pure, enlightening the eyes. The Bible is clean, enduring forever. The Bible is true and righteous altogether. The Bible is more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. The Bible is sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by the Bible is thy servant warned, and in keeping of the Bible, them, there is great reward. Oh, Christian, this morning, can I plead for just a few moments with you about how you need not to stress because you have the B-I-B-L-E. You have the precious Word of God. I wonder this morning, and I'm not asking you to wave it, I'm not asking you to raise it, but I wonder how many of us have our Bibles with us this morning. I wonder how many of us have brought the Word of God because we're anticipating God to speak to us and in us through the precious Word of God. I wonder how many of us this morning forgot our Bible and then we said, oh, I don't need to drive back and get it, I'll be okay. But yet, if we would have forgotten our cell phone, we would have turned to you in a heartbeat and said, I need my cell phone. Can I tell you, as much as your cell phone can help you throughout the day, the precious word of God will help you way more.
Amen.
May I say that we often now have come to a place where we have to know where the remote control is in the house, but often we don't know where our Bible is in our house. We have to know that, make sure that every door is secure and everything is locked and secured and in place within our homes and before we lay our head on a pillow, but we haven't often even taken time to wonder and think, where is our Bible throughout the whole week? If our cell phone goes off, we rush to it to see what's going on. But yet at the moment when we feel perplexed or stressed, we often don't run to the Word of God and open it and say, God, help me there. What I'm submitting to you this morning, my friend, is I believe we are a little out of whack when it comes to how we ought to be living the Christian life. See, you're too blessed to be stressed because you have the Bible. You have God's holy word. You have God's precious book to be able to open, to read, to let it lead you, let it guide you. But often we look at it and go, okay. I'm not trying to rile you up this morning. I'm not trying to make you mad. But it is so true that many of us live from just Sunday to Sunday anticipating, well, what can Pastor Matt bring today? What will Pastor Matt say for these few moments? If I learn something from that, if I take something from that, praise God, then I'll go and I'll go live Monday through Saturday because Monday through Saturday is so busy I don't have time for God. We're out of whack. If you're trying to survive on what Pastor Matt brings to you on a Sunday, hear me, you're miserable.
Amen.
You are. If that's all that you're coming and trying to cling to, listen, there are Sundays, and I'll be honest and real with you, where your pastor can preach a flat message. Now, the Word of God still preached, and you can get something from the Word of God and praise God for that. But you cannot survive on just 30, 40 minutes in one chapter or a couple, three, as it may be. Oh, this morning I plead with you to open your Bible, to use your Bible, to have your Bible, to love your Bible.
Amen.
But can I submit to you why in just a few points this morning? As we read through verses 7 and 11, we just see the Word of God and its power, its awesomeness, its majestic thoughts that are there through as they're penned. I want you just to write down five things this morning about the Bible. Number one, and maybe you've already filled it in, is I want you to see that the Bible is a perfect book. The Bible is a perfect book. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. The Bible is a perfect book. See, there are a lot of books that have been written. Can I let you know that no matter what book you're reading now or have read or will read, know this, that there is no book that is perfect other than the Bible. The Bible is the only perfect book. The Bible is different from all other books because it was given by the inspiration of God. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we read, all scripture, every word that we read here today, as it's been provided for us in English translation, all scripture is given by the inspiration. The word inspiration in the Greek means this, God breathed or God spoke. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And as we read that and as we think about that this morning, we can then write down in our outline, the Bible is a perfect book. But don't miss it. That means that it is without error, without flaw. Perfect. Perfect book. That's why I plead with you this morning. Open your Bible. Use your Bible. Every teenager, every young adult, every senior saint in this room, no matter what age you are this morning, I plead with you, open your Bible. Mark your Bible up. Highlight your Bible. Draw in your Bible notes to cross-reference things. It's a good thing. Can I tell you this? We live in a land where Bibles are in abundance, and you can get a new one in a month if you need to. Mark it up. Read it. Study it. Use it. Heed it. Let it lead you. It's a perfect book. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is, say it, perfect. The Bible is perfect. Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord, is sure, making wise the simple. You want to know how to become wise? You don't need to go to college and get a degree necessarily. What did you just say, Pastor? I said, if you want to become wise, you don't necessarily need to go to college and get a degree. And that is ruffling feathers right now, so many people. Because we think that we got to be world smart. And many of us are world smart, but please pardon this, but we are spiritually stupid
or we're not wanting to become wise, and we're not in the blessed book, the precious book, the perfect book of God, the way we ought to be. The Bible says if you want to become wise, get in the book.
Amen.
You can have as many degrees flashed on the wall as you want. You can go to school till you die. Praise God. But what are you doing with the perfect book? What's it in your life? Where's it at? Where's it at on the important pedestal, so to speak? Is it down here? Is it up here? Well, after I get my education, I'm going to go and start reading the Bible. We've learned from Ken Ham on Wednesday nights, haven't we, a lot? How secular schools, public schools, colleges are destroying our nation.
Amen.
And I'll tell you this, public schools, secular colleges and such, they aren't going to teach you from this. They're not going to teach you from a perfect book. They're going to teach you from man's ideas, man's philosophy. And we have let it just seep into us, and we've gotten so many degrees of this and this and this and this and this and this, and we've forgotten to open the perfect book. We've forgotten to come to the book that's without error, without flaw, and put it into our lives. And that, my friend, may I submit to you this morning, is why we often are stressed. Because we forgot the blessing book. We forgot the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. It's a perfect book, it says in verse number 7. But I want you to see, secondly, this morning, that the Bible is a pure book. The Bible is a pure book. Look at verse number 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is
pure.
The commandments of the Lord. Again, statutes, law, commandments, testimonies, throughout the Psalms, all that, all those words come back to one thing. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. And we see in verse number 8, the commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Don't you love it when you're reading your Bible and you're reading through there? And like your eyes just like pop out of your head almost. And you're going, whoa, look at that truth. Look at that great, wow, look at that. Or do we even have moments like that in our lives? Where we're letting the pure book be enlightened to the eyes. Look at verse number 8. The Bible is right. It causes the heart to rejoice. And the Bible is pure, enlightening the eyes. The whole Bible is pure, meaning it is truth and helpful for our lives. Right? It is truth. Meaning that, I'm sorry, it is pure, it is truth, that it means that it is helpful to our lives. See, we can look at the world, we can turn on the news, we can go to social media. Can I tell you this? You might find some facts and some things about how you can be helped in your life, or maybe how America can be helped, but can I tell you, often you're not going to find how the remedy is going to happen with America, social media, all of this, unless you come to the book that is pure.
Amen.
And Christian, hear me this morning. This is what must guide and lead your life.
Amen.
This is it. What it says goes. Where it says I go, I'll go.
Amen.
Where it tells me to change, we'll change.
Yes.
Yes, Lord, help. Because to be honest with you, I think in Christianity we come to a place where it says that, but that's for the super Christians. Can I really tell you this? There's no super Christians. We're all sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
But there are some Christians who have decided to say, yes, I'll change.
That's right.
Yes. And they have come along a little further, if I can put it that way, in Christianity. They're not super. They're a wretched sinner just like me and you.
Amen.
But they chose to say, God, your word is pure, and you say, thou shalt not. For I ought to do. So I will do. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy word. Or through thy truth, excuse me. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word, the precious word of God, is truth. What does the word sanctify mean?
Set apart.
Set apart. To be cleansed. The
The way we get set apart, the way we get cleansed, the way that God can use us is when we look at the truth, the pure book, and say, God, let it change me. See, Christian, that's why it is important to open your Bible every single day. Because Philippians says, he which hath begun a good work chooses and wants to continue to perform until the day of Christ to change you, to mold you. And your changing, your molding will come as you come to the pure book and your eyes are enlightened and your heart is being dealt with. And you're saying, Lord, change me. Many of us don't like conviction. Have you know that conviction can and often will let it, will definitely lead us to change? See, we don't like awkward in life. And so to avoid awkward, we don't talk with people. We stay away from awkward, right? If I go there, it's going to be awkward. I'm going to be out of my comfort zone. I don't do that. And so in life that we live, the journey that we're on, when awkward's there, uncomfortable's there, out of my comfort zone, we just tend to stay away from it. So what we've now brought into our Christianity is kind of the same attitude. Well, conviction is awkward or uncomfortable or it's going to hurt. And so don't convict me. Well, if I don't want to be convicted, then I'll just leave my Bible closed. It's hard to be convicted when you're not in the pure Word of God, when you're not letting your eyes be enlightened. Thirdly, this morning, I want you to see that the Bible is a precious book. It's a perfect book, it's a pure book, and I want you to see, thirdly, that it is a precious book. Verse number 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Pastor, how long will the Bible be good for? I'm glad you asked me, but what does the Bible say? Forever. Isaiah 40 in verse number 8 says, the grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. What makes the book so precious is that God himself is so precious. And God spoke the words that you and I are reading from today that we're letting hopefully lead our life. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. God's word is precious because God is precious. The book that God wrote will stand forever. What a precious book. You know, you sometimes go to a bookstore, and of course sometimes this can be even hard to find nowadays. If you go to a bookstore, and a used bookstore, you walk in, you might find an old book. You pull that old book off the shelf and you start to flip through and you go, man, this is not even relevant. I don't even know how to ride a horse. I don't know how to ride a buggy. Okay. Whatever it may be, I don't need this book. It's not relevant to today. It's not relevant to my time. But you know what? You can't once walk up to the Word of God, pull it off the shelf, open it and go, that's not relevant. Because the Word of God shall stand forever.
Amen.
See, all the tests and the trials and the temptation that Paul went through, that Moses went through, that on and on, that everybody has gone throughout history as we read the precious Word of God, the words that God inspired, the words that God gave, the words that they read, as God allowed for them to have what portion they had in their life, was good for them. But here we are, depending on exactly where we're at in time, going all the way back into the time of Moses or Paul or whatever it be, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. But here we are, reading the Word of God, looking at the Word of God, and guess what? On this day, August 27th, 2017, the Word of God is exactly as relevant as it was for Moses, as it was for Paul, Joshua, and everything, as it is today.
Amen.
When the Bible says that man shall not lay with mankind, talking about homosexuality, guess what? It's still relevant.
That's right. Amen.
Well, but Pastor, we got to change and adapt a little bit. No, my friend, we can't change and adapt. Because the Bible spoke and the Bible said it. When the Bible says thou shalt not lie, we shouldn't be lying today. Oh, but Pastor, we just do white lies so our business looks good. You're lying.
Right.
Amen.
You're dishonest. You're stealing. You're cheating. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, that's a Ten Commandment. Yes. To show us that we need a Savior. That we all do evil. And it's still relevant. Thou shalt not steal.
Amen.
The Bible says in the New Testament that we are to love one another. The Bible also says that we are to love our enemies.
Amen.
In the New Testament. Still relevant today. Well, but I can't love my enemies.
That's why the Bible says to love your enemies, because you need help, and I need help to remind us that we are to love all.
Amen.
In a country that is so divided over race and color, may I remind you that there are not races. There's one race.
Amen.
We're a different color, and praise God we're a different color. Glad we have different color eyes, and we have different features. God made each and every one of us special. But we are to look out, and we are to love each and every one. I'm glad for a church that has so many different backgrounds and ethnic this way and that way and coming together to worship one God.
Amen.
The true God, a holy God, the only God. As we gather here this morning, may I remind you that the Bible is a precious book. It's clean and it will endure forever. Verse number 10 gives us the fourth thought this morning. The Bible is a powerful book. The Bible is a powerful book. We see it to be perfect and pure and precious. But in these last two thoughts this morning, I want you to see that the Bible, in verse number 10, is a powerful book. More to be desired is the Bible, are they? Talking about the law, the statutes, the commandments, the testimonies that are previously mentioned. More to be desired are they than what?
Gold.
What is the most precious, valuable thing in all the world we know today? Now, we answer the question right, we said in the world, but what would trump that according to the Word of God?
The
Bible. More to be desired is the Bible than precious gold, fine gold. Sweeter is the Word of God than honey and the honeycomb. I want you just to soak up with me just three things that are written in your outline already about the power of the book. The power of the book. See, when your pastor tells you and pleads with you this morning in a short amount of time, hey, you're too blessed to be stressed. You have the B-I-B-L-E. You have God's Word. You have the perfect book. You have the pure book. You have the precious book. I also want to submit to you this morning, you have a powerful book.
Amen.
Everything that you need for life, you'll either find here or from the Holy Spirit that indwells you.
That's right.
Amen.
You will.
Right.
The Bible is so relevant, the Bible is so practical, the Bible is so true and guiding that you can come to the Word of God and you will see that it is so powerful. There's three ways I want you to know that it's powerful. Number one, the Bible has the power to convict.
Amen.
Again, if we will come and say, God, change me. God, come. I want to be convicted so that I can draw closer to you and have the most awesome and closest fellowship as possible. We learn the Word of God has the power to convict. In Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Don't miss this. The Bible, it's hot to handle. You're not thinking about just some dusty old book. Some cold, outdated book. My friend, you have a hot, blistering, powerful Word of God that you're holding today.
Amen.
When you got saved, God didn't leave you.
Right.
He gave you the precious Word of God. And it has the power to convict. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. I love talking with new Christians, and as they get saved, they start opening the Bible, and they read it, and they're like, Pastor, I was reading this, and I was convicted. Oh, man. Pastor, I want to change. Pastor, I want to be different. Pastor, the Bible says I shouldn't do this. But Pastor, the Bible is showing me that I should be careful with my tongue.
Amen.
Pastor, the Bible is showing me that I ought to come to church. I want to come to church. May I say for a new Christian or an old Christian, it should be the same.
Amen.
We should say, God, let there just be, and I know there is power, but you just can. Stab me with the sword. Convict me. It's a book that's hot to handle, has the power to convict, but I also want you to note just back in our text in verse number 7 that it has the power to convert. All the way back in the very first verse, the Bible is perfect, converting the soul. The precious Word of God leads us to salvation. The precious Word of God tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave. Yes, you can look at creation. Romans 1 tells us that you can see that there is a maker, there is a God in heaven. But oh, how the Word of God comes right along and just backs every bit of that up, converting the soul. See, the Bible tells us that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
For when you think about the Word of God and the love of God, you can come to Romans 5:8, right? Where it says, God showed His love towards us, and that while I was a wicked, wretched sinner, He sent His only begotten Son to die for me.
Amen.
He borrowed a tomb after He was crucified, and up from the grave He arose.
Amen.
3 days later, victorious. See, the Word of God tells me that I can have a Savior, that He is the Savior, He is the only way, He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. Oh, how we see this morning that this book is so powerful because it convicts and it has the power to convert, but I also want to give you this thought. It's a powerful book because it has the power to comfort. See, it comforts us for salvation in 1 John 5:13. The Bible says that you may know that you have eternal life. See, I'm not trying to keep myself saved. I couldn't. I'm a wretched sinner, a wicked sinner. If I tried to keep myself saved, I would lose right now. Because there's nothing within me that can save me. So you know what I need? Is the reminder through the precious Word of God, the comfort from the Word of God, that He saved me. And when He saved me, He did the work. And as John 10 tells us, I'm in the Father's hands.
Amen.
And no man's plucking me out. Because it's the Father, it's the Son, it's the Holy Spirit that's keeping me saved, not me. And may I say to you, you're not keeping yourself saved.
Right.
I'm going to be honest and say there's some days when maybe if it was up to you, you'd feel like you're not saved. When it's up to you, right?
Amen.
Yeah. That's when you remind yourself, it's not up to me, it's up to God. That you may know that you have eternal life, the power to comfort. You know, when a loved one passes away or someone's going through a hard time and a struggle, I'm always reminded as a pastor, they don't need my words. They need these words.
Amen.
They need God's word. They need Psalm 23 where they're reminded, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's the one that's leading me behind the still water. He's the one that's going to restore my soul. He's the one that's leading me in the paths of righteousness. He's the one that says, I will be with Him forever. Surely goodness and mercy. They need Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, where the Bible says that we are not consumed because of His mercies and His faithfulness, and great is Thy faithfulness. It's new every day. They don't need some pastor come along going, hey, you know, you can get this. This is all about you and me. No, they need somebody to come along and say, precious book can help you. The power of a book can come for you.
Amen.
I love sending people to the Word of God and just let them soak up what the Word of God says. So, pastor, that's kind of, isn't that like skipping out on counsel and being the great counselor that you are? No. It's being wise. Send them to the precious book. Man, when you need to be comforted, can I tell you this? Don't go scrolling through Facebook. That will not comfort you.
Amen.
That will discourage you. That will mess you up. That'll make you want to do something weird, like turn your air conditioner off or something. I don't know. Go to the precious book. Go to the pure book. Go to the perfect. Go to the powerful book. Power to convict, power to convert, and power to comfort. I want you to see finally this morning. It's number something. You can fill in the number, as you can see on your outline. We accidentally left that off. But number five, I want you to see the Bible is a profitable book. We don't have time to turn to everything that is in the rest of your outline, but the Bible contains everything we need to become mature believers. As I said earlier, when God saves us, He doesn't desert us. He put His words in our hands.
Amen.
So that we will take it, Lord willing, from our hands to our eyes and into our heart.
That's right. Amen.
He didn't save you and say, I'll come back in whatever, 2,000 years or plus, whatever it may be, when Jesus Christ comes back, and then I'll get you. But He says, I saved you. I didn't desert you. I gave you the precious Word of God. I gave you the Holy Spirit that indwells you to be able to discern the things of God. Corinthians tells us, as Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, he says, listen, those that are in the natural state, those that are not believers, those that have never trusted Jesus Christ, they can't discern the book of God. But a carnal person who is saved but not walking with God, they have the ability to repent, get right, and be able to discern things of God. But a spiritual person can open the book, read it, and through the Holy Spirit leading, they can discern it. Which makes this book, the B-I-B-L-E, most profitable book in all the world. See, because He didn't save you and desert you, He put the Word of God in your hands. And He put the Word of God in your hands, you see this morning in these several thoughts that it is our food. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 4 where the devil comes to tempt Jesus. And Jesus says this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.
Amen.
By every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. It's food. It's substance. Can I ask this question this morning? Are you starving because you're not in the Word of God? If I said, here, I want to make a deal with you. I don't want you to eat the next week until next Sunday morning. Many of you would laugh, chuckle, you'd look at me funny, you'd punch me on the way out. You said, Pastor, I'm going home to eat right now. Forget you. I'm eating tomorrow. Forget you. I'll wait until next Sunday. What are you going to do with the VIP of the steak?
Amen.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not only is it our food, but we see it as our sword. In Ephesians 6, we get the armor of God, the beautiful picture of the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, our feet shod with preparation. We get the whole picture of a breastplate of righteousness. And we also get that we are to have the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
Christian, how many of you guys know how to use the sword God's given to you? As a pastor, I'm in a battle. As a Christian, I'm in a battle. As a father, I'm in a battle. As a husband, I'm in a battle. As a human being, I'm in a battle. And you are also.
Amen.
And we are in a battle, and we are against the devil. May I say this, we all need to be armed. And we all need to know how to use our sword.
Right.
You can't just let the pastor swing the sword by himself. Eventually, I will go down, if I can put it that way. We all got to raise our sword. We have to be standing with the armor of God on, be standing with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and be wanting to use it.
Amen.
To look at the devil and say, devil, you're not winning this one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amen.
You can do that. And you need to do it.
Amen.
Your family needs that. Daddy, hear me. Your children need you. I'm so passionate this morning because you have the Bible. We have the precious Word of God. It can change your life. It can change your family. It can change our church. It can change our community. It can change our country if we'll use it.
Amen.
We got the sword and we're not using it. And children are going this way and that way and homes are being separated and fractured. And I stand back as a pastor and I go, God, help us. It's right there. May I say to you, please don't think I'm preaching down to you because I'm convicted just as hard this morning as I'm telling you, I must be a better daddy. I must be a better pastor. I must be a better preacher. I must be a better husband. And I find that I got to pick up the sword and take it.
Amen.
Christian, we cannot sit back and go, oh well, it's the profitable book. It's good for food. It's good for the sword. James chapter 1, 22 through 25 says it's a mirror. It's
Amen.
A mirror. How many looked in the mirror this morning? Be honest. Some of you look like you didn't, but anyways, just kidding. Just kidding. I had to bring a light heart alone this morning before you walked up. Just kidding. You know what? I think almost every hand raised. He said, I looked in the mirror. You know what that mirror told you? Part the hair. Take a rag and wash it and get the boogers out of your eyes. Brush the nasty, gnarly teeth, whatever it may be. It told you something, right? It was telling you you need to correct something. James chapter 1, 22 through 25 tells us that if we will take the book of Bible and we'll open it, it's a mirror. And as I read it, I behold my face in a glass, saying, correct, change, adjust. Just as every woman and even men love mirrors, and we're thankful for them for our physical being. Right? Yeah, look, handsome, I'm good looking. I know what you're talking about. Spiritually. Can I put it this way? I want to be good looking. Not for my own purpose, but that people would see my life being bright.
Amen.
And that God's name would be glorified. The Bible tells me it's a mirror, so it can change me. It also tells us that it's a map in Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. See, when I'm walking in this world and there's bad pictures in front of me and there's jokes and situations that I don't need to be around the water cooler or I need to walk away from, there's a map or a guide that says, hey, wake up, stupid. Be alert to what's around there. Adjust your life. I'm not calling you stupid. I'm calling you stupid. I know. I'm just saying it tells me how to walk. tells me how I can be victorious, how the journey I can be had. Hey, be careful what's going on. It's a map. It's also a counselor in Psalm 119:24. It's also our song of joy. Remember we read out of Colossians 3 early on, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Psalms and spiritual songs. Hymns. Making a joyful noise unto the Lord with your heart. It's a song of joy. I can shout, I can sing, I can be happy because I see what the Bible has for me. And is also our lamp in Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Amen.
That verse meant so much to those back in the Bible days. David knew as he penned that and as that's provided for them and even for us. See, I don't know what's going to happen next week. One thing I can do is open my Bible and I can read and I can be comforted because God says he has it. And see, they didn't have massive halogens. They didn't have bright beams that shot way out there. Around their ankles, they would put little candle holders, so to speak, and they'd have little candles. And they'd be able to have them right around their feet lit. The Word of God is a path, or is the light into my path. And it allows me to be able to take the next step of comfort and go, well, there's no danger there if I take this down. When I take this step, I can see because the Word of God has put a light around me and says it's okay. Or maybe there's danger. There's a hole right there. Pray a little harder. Stop. Be still and know that I am God. Seek God's wisdom, God's ways, God's counsel, and don't step there. Come this way.
Amen.
That's what the Bible's all about. Christian, you and I don't have to be stressed out. We're too blessed. Because we have the B-I-B-L-A. Here it is. Going to do with it? Man, add the power to change and convict and turn your life upside down in a great way. You'll be done. Me? Stressed? No. I have the idea. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning?